Good afternoon, and welcome to yet another episode of El Paso Primetime. I'm Richard Dayu, President and CEO of the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce. And as many of you know who listen to the show regularly, we have special guests. We like to think they're all special. Every week on a different subject matter, and this is no exception. This week, we're fortunate to have Mr. Ed Archuleta, who is the current Director of Water Initiatives at the University of Texas, El Paso. And prior to that, many of you may know Ed's name or know him personally as the former President and CEO of the El Paso Water Utilities Public Service Board of El Paso until he retired just a short 2 years ago. Ed, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here.
Thank you, Richard. It's a pleasure for me to be here. Thank you for the kind introduction, and I'm looking forward to discussing water. I guess we're going to be talking water today.
We certainly are. By way of background for our listeners, a few weeks ago, you were kind enough to host a meeting here at UTEP in the Union Building to focus on water technologies and the technologies that are available for licensing, water treatment, and the whole dynamic and how El Paso is, thanks to your work and the work of the Public Service Board over the years, have become really the center of excellence and how we can take this to the next level. And I was fortunate enough to be a part of that audience, which prompted me to get you on the show. So without further ado, no one's listening to hear me talk. Why don't you take off with this and give us the background on this whole thing?
Sure. I'd be happy to, Richard. Again, thank you for having me on the show. I retired from the water utility. Actually, it's about 3 years ago. I spent about 24 years here in El Paso with the water utility. Felt that we made a lot of progress in water, but there's always challenges and things to do, and that continues under the leadership of John Ballou. So when I retired, I wasn't really quite ready to retire, Richard. I've studied different models, and I felt that if I kept myself active physically and mentally, I probably would be better and also kind of giving back to the community. So when Dr. Natalicio and also Dr. Roberto Osegueda, who is the Vice President for Research, and also Dr. Schapoister, Dean of Engineering, they approached me individually about possibly joining UTEP. I thought about it and decided to do that. I do work there half-time. As you mentioned, my title is Director of Water Initiatives, which is kind of a broad area. And then I do some private consulting on the side as well. So I've been staying pretty active in the community, in the region, and do quite a bit of public speaking across the country, actually. Let me just kind of say, while I was at the water utility and even after I retired, I think I really believe that El Paso and combined with the excellent facility here at UTEP is really a place to carry out water research and water innovation and management of water. When you think about it, you know, this is an area that gets not a lot of precipitation. We have the droughts affecting river supplies. We have a huge population increase, you know, in this region. When I say huge, it's not really up and down, but it's a constant population growth. I know it's been moderated somewhat in Juarez, but nonetheless, you know, there's a steady growth in this area. So we have to be very careful about how we manage water. And when I was at the water utility, I certainly tried to use technology and innovation in what we do in order to, you know, basically make sure we have plenty of water for the future, that we implement best practices and basically provide a good value to our customers, you know. One of the things in working with you, Richard, I know you and the chamber and others helped us quite a bit as we went to Washington and petitioned for the desalination plant. You know, we actually had started that process even before the base realignment and closing process started, but whether you call it good planning or maybe some good luck, we were positioned to be able to say to the Army at the Pentagon and elsewhere that we had plenty of water if we use technology, which is the desalination process. So I think that's one example of where I've worked with you in the chamber and other community leaders to position this city and this area as an area that used to be a problem, you might say, but I think sometimes you can make problems opportunities.
I remember my brother saying all the time, the harder you work, the luckier you get. So I think that goes to what you just said. So maybe there was a little bit of good timing, but if you all had not been doing the preparation at the Public Service Board and had been going to D.C. already, I don't think we would have seen the growth. In fact, I'm positive we would not have seen the growth at Fort Bliss that we are enjoying as a community today, bolstering our economy.
No, you're right about that. And I'm a real believer in planning, but not just plan for plan's sake, but implement the plan. And I think as you implement the plan, people become very confident in your ability, and the trust level just continues to grow. And so when I retired, as I said, and came to UTEP, I thought, you know, I think I can do some things that would position this area even further as a model, as a place where, you know, water needs to be studied. You know, in other words, why not? Why not make UTEP and why not make this area as an area where you can study, you can learn, you can do research, and eventually manufacturing? You know, why not? We're at a perfect location, as I started to say, in terms of the resources that we have and some that we don't have, but how we have to be able to diversify our portfolio in order to meet that total demand. And that's what we've done. When you look at it, we've got the groundwater, we got the surface water from the river, we use reclaimed water, which people refer to as purple pipe, and now we have the desalination, and even further down the road, if necessary, there'll be importation of water, because we were wise enough and the utility continues to execute plans to buy water rights in areas east of El Paso in order to import to El Paso. But to get back to the point, as I retired and as I started going to conferences and speaking at conferences, I was approached by a group of folks from primarily Central Texas that during the height of the drought, you might say, in Texas, about the possibility of taking a very different approach to managing water in Texas, again, using innovation and technology. What was formed was what's called Accelerate H2O. It's been in existence about a year and a half. I was one of the individuals that was recruited, so to speak, to serve on the board, and I became the chairman. I'm basically the one that that has studied and managed water. The other folks are primarily businessmen from throughout Texas and have an interest in water and the future of Texas. So this group was formed basically to analyze, not further analyze necessarily, but at least identify the top water issues in Texas and see how we can use technology and innovation to address them. We have a good planning process in Texas right now for water, but it's pretty prescriptive, you might say. And as you know, water utilities, by and large, are pretty risk-averse. And also, universities are risk-averse, and consulting engineers are risk-averse. So water ends up being pretty overall risk-averse, right? People have to kind of prove it up before people take the risk in order to move forward. And sometimes you have to kind of use the best information you have and just go forward. And that's what we did with the desalination plant. There were risks involved in that process, particularly how to deal with the concentrate, the brine that comes out of it, where we went with deep well injection and a permit from EPA that no one has ever, you know, sought after or obtained, which we did. So there are risks in inherent in the business. And a lot of times we don't encourage, we don't incentivize, and we don't provide that opportunity. So that's one of the goals of Accelerate H2O. Another one is to, again, through that, bring the best minds together from universities, consulting engineers, utilities, and the private sector together to work on these problems and try to reduce some of the barriers and limitations, which there are. You know, there's regulations and more regulations in the water business, just like there are in many parts of our life, but they don't necessarily have to be there. And I think one of the things that we want to address is how can we do what we have to do in water management, but reduce some of the burdens and limitations that affect not only the public sector, but also the private sector? And then through all that whole process, there is not one single organization in Texas that you can pick up the phone, you can email. If you're a new business and you want to come to Texas and you have water equipment or you have ideas that you want to research in terms of implementing it, You don't have a one-stop shop, you might say, as to who to call and how to do that. So Accelerate H2O was formed in part to be able to be that go-to organization that would kind of connect the dots, if you will, be able to say, okay, we know, because what happens is there's a lot of independent research being done by, we have some of the finest universities in the country here in Texas, but there's a lot of independent research being done and duplication of research. There's also knowledge base that's out there that may not be, you know, available or communicated properly. So part of our charge at Accelerate H2O is to be able to do that. Now, going back to what you were talking about, Richard, we had an event here about a month, almost a month ago here at UTEP, where we brought together yourself and about 19 or 20 other business leaders, our major industries here in town, some of the folks that have a direct and indirect interest in water, and basically, you know, among El Paso Water Utilities, UTEP, and Accelerate H2O will be forming a what we call a hub of innovation, basically, making El Paso designated through Accelerate H2O as a location where, you know, industry and researchers and others would be able to study, learn, analyze, and eventually manufacture, as I said, water systems, water education, smart water metering, smart, you know, devices and what have you, in order to treat water. So why not El Paso? You know, why not? And so we would be known as a place where you would implement desalination, new techniques, also what I would call advanced water treatment. As you know, the water utility is advancing to what they call a water purification plant to treat wastewater all the way to drinking water standards and actually pipe it up. El Paso has been doing indirect potable reuse, which means at the Fred Hervey plant, treating wastewater to drinking water standards, but injecting it back into the groundwater table. Richard, this would actually pipe it up, you know. And so the technology is there. It's basically the lack of education on part of many consumers and the ability to be able to communicate that information.
Well, that's very good. One of the things, there was a gentleman who sort of led the discussion during that meeting we had with you, Richard Celine. Am I pronouncing
right.
his last
yes.
name correctly?
Celine. Right.
And Richard, what role does he play with the organization?
Well, he's the executive director, and actually he was hired as a consultant. This is a gentleman that's done a number of things, and he actually was recruited from Washington, D.C., where he had a consulting practice. But in a prior life, he's done a number of things. Like, he was the assistant to the president at MD Anderson, you know, cancer facility. He's done work in the biomedical field and what have you. So he knows, you know, the business of basically going from a, you know, from an idea to actually beginning to do pilot plant studies and lab studies and then implementing it through accelerator programs, you might say. We're working also with a number of partners. One of them is the Hub of Human Innovation here.
Joe Wardy,
we've partnered with them. They're a good partner. They want to work with us. And so I think they were part of the group that was there at that meeting. And Richard is the executive director.
So one of the things that he said during that meeting, and you have repeated it several times in your comments, is why not El Paso? And I'd like you to expand a little bit about that, because I think one of the things I took away, one of the things I went directly to the Borderplex on after that meeting, was to say we already identified a number of disciplines that they, Borderplex, through their strategic plan, are targeting industries for El Paso to grow. Of course, in manufacturing, aerospace is another one, and the list goes on. Obviously, healthcare. I feel strongly, and I've encouraged them to work with you all more closely, to identify opportunities for companies to be recruited to El Paso that are pursuing water technologies, because I think, in fact, not only is it a why not El Paso, I believe we get the leg up on every other region in the nation. We've proven, because of where we are and the fact that we're in the high desert, what we can accomplish with some innovation and some forward thinking. Would you care to comment a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. In other words, we have a lot of visitors to El Paso facilities, water utility facilities. UTEP has developed quite an expertise, particularly in desalination and water reuse. And so we just need to market that and make it more available I have spent a lot of time since I retired and even before on the public speaking trail, where I'm asked to come out to different meetings, different conferences from a number of places in Texas. I've been to the Valley. I've been in Austin, San Antonio, Amarillo, you know, you name it, in terms of trying to, you know, to tell people about the success story here in El Paso. And so, you know, San Antonio is building a desalination plant. They sent, tens of folks out here, from attorneys to engineers to politicians, whatever, to learn about our experience here. So we just need to market what we've done and what we have, and take advantage of that and make it an economic engine, so to speak.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's actually another comment that Richard Seelein made during that meeting, which is when San Antonio came, and it's just one example, or other regions that have come here, and we seem to be giving away the technology. So how do we commercialize that? How do we maintain effectively our intellectual property rights so that we can then develop this industry and grow it here to the betterment of our economy?
Well, actually, that's there's a good point. UTEP has an attorney now that was hired some time back to basically deal with the intellectual property and patents and what have you. And I was working with her this morning. Her name is Melissa Silverstein. And, you know, basically there's 12 different patents in water itself that have been developed over a short period of time by UTEP researchers. And we're going to be applying for an Economic Development Administration grant to try to do exactly that, you know, try to marry up that type of knowledge, you know, through the proof of concept all the way into lab studies and whatever, in order to get to the manufacturing point and to the private sector investors. So you're exactly right. We've got a lot of intellectual property, a lot of knowledge, and a lot of opportunity for the future. So why not make water as one of the when I was with the water utility, and you remember the old REDCO, you know, the Regional Economic Development Corporation, when the PSB decided to put some money into REDCO, we actually had a contract item, you know, for them to begin to kind of look at that as one of the sectors. You know, we were probably a little bit ahead of our time at that time, to be frank with you. I know there were other sectors like military, you know, the healthcare business, et cetera, the medical field, even automotive at that time, but it was in our thought that why not be able to take that technology, take that problem as an opportunity, and be able to make it a success for this region.
Interesting you should mention Melissa. I met her when I was given a tour of the KIC Center over at the College of Engineering, which is incredible in its own right. I was very fortunate, not to digress too far. I'm a member of the Chancellor's Council, mm-hmm. UT System Chancellor.
Oh, okay.
McCraven.
Good.
And I was there for my very first meeting about 3 weeks ago. It's an annual meeting, and they had three different disciplines that they were focused on during the breakouts, and one of them was featuring the KIC Center for 3D printing, which is pretty incredible, and it's right here on our campus at the university.
Right.
But I met Melissa, a native El Pasoan.
Right.
Her parents are high in Marilyn Silverstein. I thought, what a small world. So we're getting together in about a week to have lunch and talk a little bit about the initiatives relative to
she's
IP.
She's part of the process because, for example, during the time that I was here, I mentioned to the Dean of Engineering, we didn't have a master's degree in what I call water resource engineering management. So I researched a number of those type of degrees across the country and tried to tailor it to where, like I said, it would not be totally unique, but it would be at least people would say, if you want to study water, you come to UTEP. You know, it becomes known after a while. So we had our first graduate students enrolled this past fall. So we're working, you know, and we're working with the, you know, the STEM system, if you will, you know, the science, technology, engineering, and math sciences, to try to, you know, bring those kids. I was just talking to young lady from Loretto Academy that's kind of doing some intern this summer, and, you know, she's trying to learn about the sciences and about engineering. So part of what we want to do is get from the schools all the way through the community college into the college, and be able to kind of begin to push them into the sciences, and certainly water, you know, engineering or water resource engineering would be part of that.
So here we are in the high desert, roughly 3,500 to 4,000 feet above sea level, depending on where you are in the city. There are other places in the world who have similar topography, similar elevations, and similar climate issues as we do. Has the university or have you identified some of those markets as potential to invite them here to learn from us?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, June 16th and 17th in Austin, we're having our this is Accelerate H2O. It's having its second investor forum. We got companies from all over the world. You know, we had our first one last June. Of course, we were a company at that time or an organization, a 501c3, which we are. We're not for profit. Come to Austin, and we had a lot of people. So this will be our second one. And, you know, it takes a while to kind of bring these people together and kind of begin to crystallize these kind of things like any new business. But we're beginning to do that. We had a group of Israelis here for a couple of days about 3 months ago from IDE Corporation. They're the ones that built the big seawater desalination plant in Carlsbad, California that just opened up. It opened up late last year. And they were here because they want to enter the Texas or the Southwest market on brackish groundwater desalination. So they spent a day here at the UTEP, and they spent about a half a day at the desalination plant. And, you know, they want to invest. They want to invest. And part of it would be in actual building of facilities, but part of it would be in research and, you know, different ways. The issue that we have in the Southwest with brackish groundwater desalination is what to do with the concentrate.
Right.
What to do with the concentrate. And as you know, I mentioned that we obtain a permit where we pump the water, you know, this concentrated salt, if you will, but it's all, you know, you can't see the salt because it's all dissolved, right? And we pump it and we inject it into the ground. That was a permit I talked about. But as you know, there's a company right now, and they came to El Paso. El Paso didn't recruit them. They came to El Paso, Environmental Water Minerals, right next to the desalination plant, just west of the plant on airport property. They're building a $60 million plant after they did pilot plant work there, spent about $1 million in pilot plant work. And what they're going to do, Richard, is they're going to take that concentrate, that slurry, you know, that's a waste product, and rather than pumping it 22 miles, they're going to take it and they're going to extract the chemicals and sell the chemicals, okay, and then return the pure water back to the utility so the utility can sell it. So it'll be a complete cycle where there's no loss of water, okay? Now, the chemicals are going to be gypsum, and they've already I've done a little consulting work for them, trying to help them with identifying markets here in this region for the farmers. Right now, the farmers use gypsum, but they use solid gypsum from the Del City area. This would be pure liquid gypsum. And rather than slurring it into the trench, you can drip it into it, and it'll be high-purity gypsum. They also are going to recover hydrochloric acid, which is used in fracking. You know, it's very expensive to produce hydrochloric acid. It takes a lot of power. And then also caustic soda, you know, that's used in another industrial municipal application. So this will be a first of its kind, but it's an example where the industry came to El Paso. El Paso did not go out. But with Accelerate H2O and the partnership that we have here now, you know, Accelerate H2O would be the mechanism to say, okay, bring it to El Paso. You know, we got this idea, we got this issue, bring it to El Paso.
What's the name of that company again?
It's called Environmental Water Minerals, EWM, out of Houston.
Water Materials.
They're a small investor-owned company that had this thought. I mean, they're using existing technology, but it's a matter of how you put it together. And they've done the marketing to be able to say that they can market that to the industry and still make a profit. Okay.
Interesting side note. There is an initiative in Austin through the governor's office, through the Texas Military Preparedness Commission, where they have been offering us the last 2 years. We hope again next year.
Right.
There'll be funding for it where there are communities that are co-located with military installations to have the state help support efforts within our community so we can reasonably secure that installation for, you know, for the foreseeable future.
Right.
And we just recently got, El Paso did, a $2 million grant from the state
right
through the Texas Military Preparedness Commission.
Right.
This company is the beneficiary of those dollars for that research that they're doing because of the technology they're pursuing.
Right. There you go.
Will ultimately return that water back to the water utility.
Yeah.
So even though we benefit as a community from it, the money didn't come directly to us. I've been given the hint that, by Dennis that we're closely running out of time.
Almost out of time.
Three or four more minutes. So.
Oh, you're right. So you're familiar with that, and basically it's good because it, you know, all of the things that have been done here in El Paso, and you're part of it with the military, it's beginning to pay off, and it pays off and will continue to pay off.
It has. So some closing thoughts that you'd like to share with our audience with regard to what you guys are doing with water technologies, what to be looking for, and how people, if they're perhaps interested in learning more about this, who do they reach out to?
Okay. Well, I mean, they can certainly reach out to me. I mean, I chair Accelerate H2O. You know, we're based in San Antonio, but that's only because that's where the initial seed money came from a research foundation. But we're statewide. They can also contact Research Sea Line. You can go to the Google. You can Google Accelerate H2O or the Texas Water Accelerator. But basically, what I'm doing now, Richard, is trying to give back to the community and to the university through education here at the university and trying to, like I said, make El Paso a place to be able to carry out water research. Okay.
By the way, just for our listening audience who are curious, you can go on the website, which is accelerateh2o.org. That's a capital A, accelerate, and the capital H, and then the number 2, and the simple letter O, .org. And you can contact Richard Selene by just emailing him at rselene, S-E-L-I-N-E, at accelerateh2o.org. And we're just about out of time, but I would like, before we say goodbye to our audience, to also implore our audience, if you're listening to this show, that means you're a listener of KTEP. So if you're a listener, you should also be a supporter financially. So I want to encourage you to please consider making a pledge to KTEP by calling 747-5152. And if you happen to be interested as a company or an individual in being an underwriter for the shows, any of the shows we have, you can contact John Carrillo at 747-6299. So with that, in closing, I want to thank our listening audience for being a part of our show again this week. And we look forward to hearing from you in the near future, and we will see you next week. Ed, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Richard. Thanks for having me.